welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good morning again. Welcome. So I just wanted to make a couple quick little comments before we delve into the message this morning. Again, just kind of regarding the coronavirus. I kind of passed it along a little bit on the email that I had sent out earlier, but don't let this pandemic, different things, however you want to call it, don't let it be an occasion for division in the body. Okay, and I kind of said, don't feel like you've got to have an obligation to come down really hard on this issue in an overt political way or in a way that would be divisive. You know what I'm saying? Well, if you had faith, you should be at church this morning. Not at all. You listen. You have the freedom to listen on the inside. If you feel like you need to stay home, stay home, all right? If you're in an area where you feel like I just don't have a peace about going, then don't go. There's no obligation. You have to prove your faith to come out today and bless God. No, not at all. Don't get into that. There's more destruction that can be done by Satan with that spirit than the physical virus itself, because it can cause division in the body and cause people to judge. Don't do it. Don't get into it. Keep a sweet spirit. That's been my prayer, that we keep a sweet family spirit through this. Regardless if you have varying opinions and different things about that on the spiritual side or the political side or whatever it is, we love each other. We love the Lord. Our heart is to see this thing overcome and to keep a sweet spirit in the body of Christ as we love each other and work together and not let it be an occasion of stumbling or judging, you know. Praise God. So let's keep our sweet family spirit. Amen. Praise God. Don't judge. Just love and work and flow, and we're going to, I believe, in the name of Jesus, that we're coming through this thing, and there's going to be supernatural, natural, all things breaking through this thing very, very quickly. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and we're going to start with a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. This is Jesus just giving an illustration. He says, to illustrate, to point further, Jesus told them, this story, of course, is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. So a lot of us know this story, is the story of the prodigal son, and he's setting up a story to basically to communicate something about the heart of the Father. A lot of us knows how the story ends, and we're going to kind of walk through this story, you know, throughout the message this morning. But we're just kind of setting it up. We see basically this younger son, he's in his father's house, he knows his father, he knows what his father's like, you know, and at the same time he wants to get out, see the world for himself, kind of kick the tires on this thing called the world and see what it's really like, have his own experience, and so he decides that he's just going to take his inheritance right away and just go out and kind of live it up and party and whatnot. So you see that story. Child of the father starts out in the house and then goes off on his own. Now, as we look at that scripture, I'm going to take a look at another scripture a little bit in conjunction with it, 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, this is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Sometimes we don't always see that previous verse in connection with 2 Timothy 1, 7. But there's a stirring up. There is something that we're doing, a part we have to play as it relates to the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And we can see that the flame could be cool, the embers could be cool, or it could be flaming, it could be strong. And so God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And as we're looking at these two verses in connection with each other, we're going to go to this idea. Well, I'm going to go back first. Luke 15, 11 through 13. It's basically saying, here's the story. You got this son. He's really what we would call in this situation like a backslidden condition. All right? He turned his back on his father. He's going to go out and do his own thing. We also see this exhortation too as believers, stir up, fan that flame that's in you. It could be cold, it could be hot, it could be somewhere in between, because the power of the Holy Spirit's at work in you. And as I think about this, these ideas and put them together, I want to challenge us a little bit this morning, because the story of the prodigal son certainly represents somebody who's kind of turned their back and, you know, maybe walked out and doing their own thing. But it can also represent spiritually in us kind of just maybe just the stagnation. Staying put. Staying where you're at spiritually. The Holy Spirit's leading you to go on to something else. But instead of changing and being pruned to bear more fruit, it's easier to just, you know, go from glory to glory. It's easier to just kind of stay and repeat the same glory, because I know this one and I'm safe here. And after all, I'm very spiritual and respected and da 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 da, and I've attained. But there's a dissatisfaction here. And we got to realize that there's some parallels here, staying here, that are a lot like the story of the prodigal. We think, well, I'm not a prodigal. I'm not going all in the world, just going out, so therefore I'm okay. We were singing that song. Let my life be yours, consecrated to you. I belong to you. And that song is just a really good segue into really the message this morning, because for there to be, for something to change, and simply the title of the message this morning is called The Uprising Within a Personal Revolution. We stay in static points, stagnant points, until something happens. An uprising within us, a personal revolution. Things happen in life. I think of, first of all, the word uprising itself just simply means an act of resistance, a rebellion, a revolt, okay? That uprising, that rebellion, that resistance, it can be a good thing or a bad thing, all right? Here's an example of an uprising. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. That's an uprising, okay? There is a certain sense, a stagnation, where it's time. We call it what you want, sick and tired of being sick and tired. There's an uprising. There's something that's changing. There's a catalyst there. And you know, I think there is in every one of us a certain sense. We find a certain purpose, you know, in wanting to impact the world. You know, the Beatles had a classic old song, So You Say You Want a Revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You know, there's something in man that he senses, has a sense of destiny that he's put on this earth to impact the world. We just got that. God kind of put that in us. And of course, he's got his purpose and his plan in us to do that. And that's ultimately what this is about. There's an uprising within for revolution. But before you can ever, and this kind of segues a little bit with our whole series we've just come out of, changing your reality. Before I can go into the world and impact the world with the revolution, I've got to have that revolution inside first. There's got to be, there's a civil war that takes place within me that's going to be won by the plan and the purpose and the power of God. When that revolution is won, then I'm equipped for every good work. I'm equipped to take it out. But there's an uprising within. And sometimes, let me just tell off on me, I can be frustrated with my own stuff that I need resolved here, and I want to go out there and fix and change the world to try to satisfy something that needs to be done here. You know, this is where the Lord has checked me sometimes when I can get really hyper-political, and it's really stemming from a deeper frustration in myself. There's a revolution that does need to take place. There is an uprising that needs to happen. But first things first, it has to happen here. There's a war that needs to be won here. And to not conflate those two ideas, but to realize, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want to do? And we talked about the Revolutionary War leading up to that. It's interesting, the events kind of leading up to the French Revolution, if you know much about that. Dickens has a great story called The Tale of Two Cities. There's an old movie made about it, if you've ever seen it, but really well done. But the book starts out, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Season of light, a season of darkness. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. In short, it was a period very much like the present. An uprising is going to have to start with a decision on your part. And so this morning, as we're kind of delving in, we're going to look at this uprising within, a personal revolution. You know, Jesus had to deal with this when he came here 2,000 years ago. They all wanted a revolution, you know, to kick Rome out of Israel. They wanted that uprising. They wanted a Barnabas or a Barabbas uprising. They wanted a revolution. And Jesus said, I'm here to give you a revolution. In fact, after he had been raised from the dead, and just before he ascended into heaven, the disciples said, at this time, are you going to restore Israel? Are you going to restore the kingdom? Are you going to restore the kingdom? Let's do it. Let's get this done. You've raised from the dead. He said, well, go and tarry in Jerusalem, you know, a few days, and you're going to receive power. All right? But there was a personal revolution that Jesus was ushering in, something that was going to happen on the inside. It would lead to another revolution, but there's an uprising on the inside that you're listening to, a revolution that you're going to fight. So this morning we're going to talk about the uprising within, a personal revolution. This is not brother, sister wagging their finger saying, you should do this, you should do that. Nah. This is about your own conscience. This is about your own stuff. This is about you knowing what God has shown you to do. This is a personal revolution. It's the uprising within, not from without. It's from within, what you're hearing God speak into your heart. Every good uprising starts out with a tipping point, okay? In other words, something happens. Something happens that causes this uprising to take place. As we're continuing on our story in the prodigal, it says about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. There's a tipping point. There's a catalyst for uprisings. Running out of money can be a great catalyst for an uprising. Famine can be a catalyst. Different things like that. It could be a doctor's report. It could be a tragic event. It could be a broken relationship. Again, like we said, sometimes you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're just done. All right? Could be a pandemic. I remember hearing a story of a famous actor who at 9/11 saw that happen, and it's like, whoa. It was just like something, it woke him up, you know, and he realized, this is just, no, God. There's just like the fear of the Lord. Something happens. There's a tipping point that happens. For this guy, this kid, he ran out of money. He's hungry. Hunger can be a tipping point. You know, a lot of times it's the stuff that we put up with, we rationalize, we kid ourselves, we'll stay in this middle of, you know, pre-uprising, justifying different things like that, but then something happens. There is a tipping point. I know in the French Revolution, you saw that if you studied that, it was hunger. People were so incredibly hungry, they just didn't care anymore. You know, that can be a catalyst. What was our tipping point? The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. This is just a couple. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. In every stage of these oppressions, we've petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. All right. Again, so here we see the forming of our nation. It's not that we weren't wanting to work with, you know, Britain, that we didn't want to work with the country, but it was nothing we did worked. It was repeated. And again, so what's happening here? You're getting this oppression over and over and over again. Now let's take this to our lives here, to our internal, our uprisings. Peter put it like this. He said, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't run with them with the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." One kind of an uprising that can happen on the inside is, we've kind of talked before about how when you sow to the flesh, you have the flesh reap corruption. You know, there's a merry-go-round you get on over here. And there's things that you know that aren't quite right. And you think, well, it's not that bad. Well, that doesn't really matter. And again, this isn't about an external uprising. This is an internal uprising. There's something on the inside when you're going, no, wait a second. This thing is stealing from me. This thing is killing me. This thing is stealing from my relationships. It could be stealing from me financially. It could be stealing from me in different ways. It could be stealing from my health. You know, different things like that. Stealing from my relationship with God. Stealing with my relationships with my family. Stealing with the life that Jesus came to give me. I'm living in this muted, half-conscious spiritual existence where I'm the full color of who I am. My personality isn't even coming out anymore. It's robbing me. It's stealing from me. But it's okay. I'm kind of learning how to do it. I'm learning how to, you know, put up with being taxed without my consent, cutting off my trade for depriving me. Satan will have us playing that game, and we kind of try to get used to that oppression. But at some point, there's a tipping point where you say, no, I don't want this anymore. Again, this has to come from within. This has to be your decision. At some point, you've got to decide, nope, I'm not having this anymore. I say I want a revolution. I do. And I'm ready to change. I'm ready for something to happen. I'm ready for stuff to change. It's kind of like when you're over here too, I think you kind of get used to this sense of almost kind of keeping up appearances, da 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 da, and you think, well, if I was to make that change, then what da 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 da. But when that tipping point happens, again, whether it's a doctor's report, tragic event, broken relationship, running out of money, tired. Sometimes it could be pain in your body. It's like, I'm done. Okay, that's it. Whenever that tipping point happens, it's like, okay, now I don't care about what it looks like. I want this to change. Period. End of story. I don't even need to be emotionally inspired to be spiritually. I'm going to do it. I've made a decision. When we're kind of playing with it, you know, I just want to, you know, I'm going to do it. The tipping point drives your dedication and commitment to do something. You don't have to take me by the hand to convince me I'm going to do it. I've made up my mind. An uprising requires that. I don't need to be emotionally inspired. You understand? I've decided I'm going to do this. Something has happened, and I'm going to change something. That prodigal son, for him, again, it was the running out of money. And in verse 17, he came to his senses. There's just something there. And you get to that point. There's a great, this is a Newsboys song. It just says, it's called Way Beyond Myself. I've been thinking it's about time to win the war that fights within, to win the war that fights all the lies invading my mind. You've brought me to my senses. Even though you've built this world to shake, you still love me in a personal way, so I think it's time to leave my doubt behind. There's so much more than meets the eye or what's going on inside. I believe in something way beyond myself. Like the wind that moves the leaves, Lord, you move me to my knees, even into something way beyond myself. There is that inflection point where you're going, oh, I believe, I'm choosing. You know, one of the most powerful things you can do, even as a believer, as a Christian in that middle, is come back to the very first element of faith. I believe you are. And I believe you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You have to acknowledge God is. If that is somehow lost, you're down here with theology. You got to go back and say, in the middle of my stuff, my emotions, you still are. In the middle of what I'm going through, you are. And you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. There has to be a coming back to that essence of faith. And that'll breathe life into all the promises and theologies and everything you already believe. But there is a heart place that you got to come back to. Yeah, you are. I'm not doing this to please anybody. You are. I believe in you, God. And I'm looking to you. There's a tipping point. Revelation 2 puts it this way. This is a revelation to the letter to the church. It says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you've fallen. Repent and do the first works of love you did at first. And what is this? This is that tipping point. I'll tell you, one of the most motivating things for me when I'm here, when I'm stuck, when I'm kind of lethargic, I'm not really, is when you come face to face with somebody who needs something and you got nothing to give them because you aren't in fellowship and you aren't connected. Man, that has caused uprisings in me. It has caused me to stop playing games and be serious because there's nothing like being full of the Word and the Spirit and somebody's there and you're gushing because you got so much to give, you know. But when you're going, the Lord wants you to go from glory to glory and you stay in that old, you don't keep going, you don't keep growing, there's more you learn and grow in that pruning process that gives you more to give. Here you got 30-fold stuff to give, and there's things that you're coming in contact with, and you go, ah, I only got this to give. I need an uprising. I want to go to 60. I want to have more to give. Sometimes it's that as well, too. It's like, there's more. I know there's more, but there's going to have to be a little revolutionary war because I'm going to get pruned. It's fine. Let's do this. This is the inward uprising. A personal revolution. These are personal decisions that we come to in our own life. This doesn't save you. This is what causes you to be effective and fruitful and enjoy life. All right? Your salvation is completely taken care of at the cross. Love, you know, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for you're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then Ephesians 2, 10, the very next verse says, but you are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works that he's ordained you to walk in. And there's no greater spiritual job satisfaction than walking in the good works he's ordained you to walk in. So I can be a Christian without the job satisfaction, or I can be a Christian with tremendous job satisfaction, 30, 60, 100-fold walking in it. But there is a tipping point that has to happen. You know, and again, no, there is no finger pointing here. This is just a very personal thing between you and God. But at some point, you decide, I'm getting off this merry-go-round. I'm ready to go on. I'm ready to bear more fruit. I'm ready to do what the Father's calling me to do. Then, next, there's a turning point, okay? There's a turning point. So the Son, it says, I will go home to my Father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. Turning point, you could call it repenting. You could call it whatever you want to call it. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. I've thought of this story, and I thought, you know, how many times have we been there? We're kind of disconnected. We're over here, and we're kind of running the math a little bit. We're thinking, okay, well, it's going to take a while before I'm really where I was or really, you know, that, but I'm doing it because I know it's right. He's just kind of, he's making that decision and he isn't even all the way there. And his father's come back. I've had that where I've just come into that place of prayer. And it's like, okay, that's it. I am surrendered. And just how that space fills with the love and acceptance and the grace of God. It's like, wow, why did I wait so long? You know, Satan lies to us in those places, you know, saying, but it's amazing just how quickly the Father responds. It's amazing when we just make that decision. It's like he comes after you. He's just looking for that direction, and he responds to it. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And there's a reciprocating of that. Okay, here I am, Father, however long this is going to take. And it doesn't take that long, you know, till you begin to experience his presence. And all you really want here anyway, even more than the fruit, is just hearing his voice again and being in fellowship with him again, picking up things in your spirit and knowing that's God and hearing his voice again. Because when you get that, then there's a whole bunch of stuff that can't be true anymore. That he's given up on you. That you're over. That it's too late. No, if you've got that going on, if you got the fellowship, well, that just reaffirms everything you always knew about him in all these years. And so what it is, there's just that going back. I'm returning. I'm gonna return to my Father. It says, here we go. You know, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna receive him. I'm gonna just get back into that place where I'm just talking with God again. All right? That's what I want. I just want that. I want that fellowship. I want that connectedness, you know, to my Father, because it is by grace through faith. I come boldly by the throat, by the blood of Jesus. That's what I'm coming for. I'm glad for what he's going to use me for, but that fellowship is restored and whole by the precious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gives me. He showers on me. But you see, this son had to make a decision. You know, before he came to his senses, and it's good. I mean, I've come to my senses and still not made a decision. You know, you can come to your senses. The scripture says, you know, you can look into the perfect law of liberty, see your condition, and then straightway go away and forget what kind of man or man you were. It's one thing to come to your senses, to look into the mirror, to see what's going on. It's another thing to make a decision, say, I will go. Now I'm going to make a decision. I don't just believe God is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm doing something on a planet of 7-8 billion people, and I believe the God of the universe sees, knows, and recognizes, and is going to work with me as I do that. Faith. He loves that. And as I do that, and I begin to take those steps, he's right there. He's right there to meet me. Here's a great passage in Romans 6. It says, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. For what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. What are we talking about? This is what we just call the turning point. All right? I'm turning. I'm changing. I'm changing in where I'm presenting my members. I can stay over here. This is what are we talking about? We're talking about the uprising within. This isn't saying, now you need to. No, I'm not talking about anything from without. I'm talking about you saying, it is time. It's done. I'm dealing with this. I know this is wrong. And I don't care if it's been wrong for a week or years and years and years, decades. I'm dealing with this. There's an uprising. There's war going on. And I'm standing up because I believe that I can be happy, I can be complete, I can be whole without having to yield my members in those areas. I can be different. This is a revolution. This is the revolution you fight on the inside that makes you available to God to fight the other revolutions that he'll use you in the earth. But this one has to get fought first. If you're just going to go out there with your theology, you're done. You got to go out there sanctified, prepared for every good work. And that's the revolutionary war that fights within. That's the first one that you're going to win. And when you win this one, you don't just theologically know, you're going with the authority of the victory, firsthand faith victory as you're going for. It's different. This is the war you're fighting, though, right here. This is the one you're going to win. And you are going to decide, this, and I'll present your members as slaves, da-da-da-da-da. No, you see these as words of life, and you see them as true. It's true. Wow. Yes, I've presented my members this way. Now I'm going to present them right. I'm going to present them before God. Here's a cool thing. when you get to these inflection points. We know that we are, let's go to that next scripture. It says, beloved friends, what we should be, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. It shows us that we are being changed. I'm offering myself as that living sacrifice. I'm yielding my members, not just as you should do this, knowing that I'm being changed. There's something that's changing in me, that's changing me from a 30-fold fruit bearer to a 60-fold fruit bearer when I'm doing that. There's something going on behind the scenes. And we've kind of went over this, I know, a lot even last week when we talked more about your identity, that on the inside you are a new creation, all right? That's the work, that's the finished work of Christ. You're brand new. And there's a process going on where you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when you're having revolution, all right? When you're not really in a revolution, you're going, wow, I know I'm this new creation in Christ Jesus, and this is kind of where I think and I see myself, and yeah, it's kind of a work in progress, da-da-da-da-da. And I'll kind of sow to the Spirit as I'm kind of getting. When you're in revolution, in one sense, you don't care. So I'm over here, right? Let's say if there's a spectrum here, and this represents a new creation, the fullness, righteous, the Holy Spirit in me, and in my mind, I may be about a third renewed to who I really am. I know the theology, but the reality of it's maybe about a third here, but I'm in the process of going. And so you kind of see these two things at play. When you're in revolution, you don't care where you are mentally in the process, because your new creation is excited for the Word of God, whether your soul is or not. You don't care anymore. You're not needing to be inspired from here to here to here. No, I don't care about how I've got a tipping point. I got to change. I'm just doing it by faith. I'm just setting my mind on things above by faith, because this new creation's already excited wherever I'm at in my soul. And that'll come along. But in revolution, you don't care. Here we go. I'm sowing to the Spirit. Something's happened. Again, what's the catalyst? I don't care whether it's starvation. I don't care whether it's a doctor's report. I don't care what that catalyst is. But that catalyst no longer requires emotional inspiration to sow to the Spirit. I'm here. There's a revolution going on in me. There's an uprising within. I'm changing things, changing my paradigms. Because I know there's a transformation that's being. There's another, one of these old songs. Actually, this is a newer song, and this was one that was done by Mercy Me. Says, it's called So Long Self. Well, if I come across a little bit distant, it's just because I am. Things just seem to feel a little bit different, you understand. Believe it or not, but life is not apparently about me always. But I have met the one who really is worthy. So let me say, so long, self. Well, it's been fun, but I've found somebody else. So long, self. There's just no room for two, so you are going to have to move. So long, self. Don't take this wrong, but you're wrong for me. Farewell. Oh, well. Goodbye. Don't cry. So long, self. Stop right there, because I know what you're thinking, but no, we can't be friends. And even though I know your heart is breaking, this has to end. And come to think of it, blame all this on me. The blame for all this simply falls on me for wanting something more in life than all of this. Can't you see? So long, self. Well, it's been fun, but I've found somebody else. So, what is this? This is an inflection point where you're not playing with it anymore and saying, I've made a decision. I'm turning around. And even though I'm here and I'm going that direction by faith, you know, I know where I'm heading. But this is an uprising. There's a turning point where I'm stopping, I'm changing, I'm doing what a lot of times I've always known that I needed to do. But the thing that I want you to really also just realize in this turning point, by the time you make that decision to turn, your inward man is going, yes, finally. Pay attention to me, the new creation. And it is an amazing thing, no matter how messed up the soul part of you is, it doesn't change that reality. You can stop and it's like, wow, I am a new creation now. That new creation has no addictions, no fears, nothing. It isn't. There's that outward man, inward man, and this is where there's that civil war. There's that uprising, that revolution that's giving life, focus, attention to this inward man. All right? And then finally, this is in our uprising. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. That is really the heart of what we call the Declaration of Independence. They're building a legal case, and then they're declaring their independence. And that's kind of what really the turning point is. All right, I've come to my senses, I see some things, now I'm going to declare something. We don't celebrate our nation's birthday, you know, in 1783 when we won the Revolutionary War. We celebrate it when we declared it. When we declared our independence, that's when we were free. That's when it happened. And it's the same way in our own Revolutionary War. We got to declare it. We got to declare it and say, ought not this daughter of Abraham be loosed from this infirmity? Ought not I be free from whatever that is? I'm declaring it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a declaration of that by faith, according to the Word of God. And then finally, the point of no return. All right, you have the tipping point, the turning point. And then there's that point of no return. Of course, we can, you know, we know in the document here, the Declaration of Independence, it says, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And of course, if you know the story, backstory of John Hancock, he writes it really big, so King George could read it with his glasses. He apparently had a hard time. But these would be the guys who would be hung first, all right? If the Revolutionary War doesn't go America's way, this would be the list of people that would be probably publicly executed. And they knew that when they were signing it. And at some point, they signed to it, and that's a point of no return. I'm having a revolution here, and there's a point of no return. I'm committed. I'm all in. All right, give you my heart. Let it be consecrated all for thee. Body, spirit, soul, and body, I belong to you, Lord. And so as we look at the story of the prodigal concluded, his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So the party began. Praise God. At that point, the son is all in. He's restored to his father. He is partying with his father. He's back in fellowship with his father. And here's the cool thing. When you're over here, you're kind of, it's that frustrating. It could be oppression. It could be whatever it is. But when you're getting free, you realize there's more to it than just that getting free. You're back in your father's house, and you have this uprising that's bigger than just getting free from that oppression. There's an uprising to get free to do something. And we kind of alluded to this before. It says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. When you're coming back into the Father's house, you're coming back with purpose. And we know the paradigm. We've heard it. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get that Spirit focus. Well, that Spirit focus, it comes through the purpose of your life in God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yes, I'm not just staying 30-fold. I'm going 60. I'm going 100. Why? Because I'm his workmanship, and there's good works he's ordained me to walk in, and I'm sanctified for these works, but there's other works I need to get sanctified for too. So I can't just go back to 19-whatever. I got to go 2020. There's works here, and I need to continue to be pruned. I need to continue to be sanctified. I need that uprising within, that uprising that I'm saying, okay, I'm not staying here. I'm going on. I'm going to live for God in whatever he calls me to do. And let me just kind of say this too. Uprisings inspire uprisings. When you're having a personal uprising, a lot of times people can tell. It comes out of your life, and it inspires them to have an uprising too. In fact, that's one of the biggest influences you can have. Not saying you need to have an uprising, just have one. Have one and be changed. And watch people watch you be changed. That's really what happened with France. I mean, our uprising was from about, 1765 to 1783. And then, lo and behold, just 6 years later, in 1789, France had an uprising. They saw our victory. We got the Statue of Liberty from France as a gift of freedom and celebrating freedom. You get freedom, man, you inspire freedom. You inspire uprising. You say you want a revolution, you want to change the world. Have one. Have one within you. Have a personal revolution. Listen for those tipping points. You can decide, am I at a tipping point or do I still have enough money? Has the Father given me enough money to where I can finance, my dissatisfaction? I don't have to wait till my money runs out to have a tipping point. I can choose. I can say, this is wrong. This is bad. I'm deciding right now the turning point. I'm going to change. Lord, I'm yielding my members as instruments of righteousness. Yes, it might feel like, so long self. It might feel like you're cutting off, your hand or plucking out your eye or those things that cause to offend. But I'll tell you what, there's a life, there's a change, there's a transforming that's taking place because as the life that used to get sucked out of you over here is now being transferred, the attention to the inward man. Man, you're getting equipped and prepared and you're in tune, you're in touch, and you got something to give here. It's a revolution. But at some point, then too, you turn and there's a point of no return. You can get over here, and I'm not saying that you lose your sense of free will and that you couldn't go back and backslide. Of course, we all have a free will to do that. But I'll tell you what, you get into this point of the goodness of God and you get into the point where you've come through some things here and then you start to go back there and it's like, I don't want to go back there. It's like you're here and it's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to live for you from here. There's been an uprising. There's been a revolutionary war, and God has captured part of my heart, more of my heart, and he's got it forever to be used for his glory, for his purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for just those. I thank you, Lord, this morning for the second sermon. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, just showing us what all this means, just applying it to our lives in whatever way that matters. We just pray, Father God, that you will just show us, lead us, guide us, now by your Spirit, to just realize that we're not doing this for anybody. We're not doing this to be seen of men, that this is between me and you, between all of us individually with you. And when our spirit leaves our body, we're going to be in your presence. It's not going to be how it looked. It's not going to be all that stuff. It's just going to be what we did. That you're going to reward us according to the things that we did in our body on this earth. This is a great opportunity that we have to let our lives be yours, holy, consecrated, our lips, our mouth, our heart, everything to be yours. We are bought with a price. Go ahead and let's make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I belong to you. I want a revolution, the uprising within, that my spirit wins, takes territory of my purpose, my focus, my life. I ask for grace to help in this time of need, to call out the tipping point, and to turn and remember the goodness of my Father, that it's His kindness that leads me to repentance, that causes me to turn. I remember, Lord, Your goodness toward me. You're just waiting for me to make that move toward Father's house. I open my arms and I receive the mercy and the grace and the comfort of Your Spirit. I'm back in Your house, Father, to do what You want me to do. The amazing purpose that gives me satisfaction. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that word this morning. You know, these are amazing times we live in. You think of just these are like apocalyptic feeling times. You know, I've often forward thought about events like that as it would relate to the Masters golf tournament, as it would relate to baseball, as it would relate, could everything really stop in this world? Is there anything that powerful? Well, wow. It's amazing. Yes. It's amazing how vulnerable we are as a world. And it really is a good wake-up call to the world, hopefully for hearts to be turned to Jesus, but even for us as a church. Go, wow, this is the time. This is a time to be all in. All in for what God wants to do in these last days. Amen. Praise God.